Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
And a good Saturday morning from our Baldwin County Annex of St. Hubert's Cathedral. Glad to have you joining us this morning. By the way, tomorrow, we missed it by one day. National Sardine Day is tomorrow. Now, I got to tell you, there's not many food items on my do not eat list, but that's one of the few. Yeah, the little fish who has a day, all named in its honor. Sardines. Do you like sardines? It's probably a love them or hate them with most people. Well, anyway, were you ready to deal with this wintertime type weather that came across the Gulf Coast to fish and hunt in? Got a little question for you. What changes in your gear or techniques do you switch to deal with the colder, maybe even windier conditions that impact not just us, but the fishing game too? If you got a tip or some advice to share, text it to us along with your comments, your questions, and we get plenty of those each week. And we'll add them in with the reports from our professional captains and marina operators, and we'll get a tip or two from them about changing gear and tactics for colder weather fishing and hunting. And you do that by texting that message real time into our studio at 504-260-1870. Put it into your contact list. That's 504-260-1870. Been quite a discussion, somewhat controversial, going on about the use of motorized kayaks during tournaments. It's an ongoing discussion. We'll touch on it a little bit with Eric Mohabarak. Brendan Bayard last week told us that it was the day after the vote was taken by the Bayou Coast Kayak Fishing Club to allow the use of motors for kayaks in tournaments. What do you think about that? Do you think it strictly should be paddling or pedaling, or do you think it's time for the motors to come in? Big advantage if you got a motorized vessel, that's for sure. And if you are planning to motorize your kayak or your paddle craft, and if you already have, do you have it legally set up? Paul Bernard, U.S. Coast Guard media contact, and he was kind enough to send me some regulations. You're basically the same as a motorized vessel, even though it is a kayak. I'll run down those for you. And if is there anybody who is out there that can use a free $103,500? Well, that'd be nice just in time for Christmas, huh? Well, you can get it if you have some information about someone who has been a bad boy in the outdoors. I'll tell you how to cash in on this huge reward that's being offered. Got a big weekend in a week coming up next week. A lot of people on vacation, taking off for the Thanksgiving holidays. Of course, Black Friday, not only the biggest shopping day of the year, it's one of the biggest hunting and fishing days because all the seasons are open. People have a little extra time, and it's a great time to get out there. So we're going to have some tips and advice for you to get out and enjoy the Thanksgiving weekend. All right, we got offshore today, northeast winds 5 to 10, pretty light, 1 to 2 foot seas. They'll drop down a foot tomorrow. That winds that you're getting out of the north and northeast are expected to switch around by tomorrow. It'll be southerly breeze and southeast wind on the interior. It's going to be southeast at 5 to 10 in smooth conditions. But today it's a little breezy out there, 10 to 15 out of the north. on the interior lakes and bays, and that's for you duck hunters too. Your average tide range, 0.8, just under a foot. It's going to be falling until afternoon in most of our areas. Mississippi River, 3.8, and got a little bit of a fall in it. No chance of rain today. Had a little bit of a front pass through, but it was a dry one, bringing us some cool, nice weather. After we get through this chilly start this morning, some excellent conditions to get out and enjoy what we talk about here every Saturday morning, the great outdoors. Robbie Campo in Shell Beach is not in Shell Beach this morning. He's still up in Kentucky chasing those swamp donkeys. So we have Glenn Sanchez, very capable hands of Glenn, going to tell us what's going on down in the St. Bernard, Delacroix, Hopedale, Shell Beach areas. Also got Captain Mike Gallo, Daryl Carpenter, Eric Mohabarak, and we got three duck hunting blinds we'll be visiting a little bit later in the show in the second hour. Mike Smith of L.A. Duck Hunts, Ryan Lambert of Cajun Fishing Adventures, and our friend out at Hackberry Rod and Gun will be talking to Captain Kirk. So stick around. We got a full 2 hours to go, and you're listening to it all on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And with Robbie Campo vacationing and deer hunting up in Kentucky for the final weekend, we got Glenn Sanchez filling in. Glenn is a former reporter on this station and this show. He did it for many, many years. He was the owner-operator of the Breton Sound Marina, and he's got his finger on the pulse of the fishing down there in what they call the parish. It covers a lot of areas, Reggio, Delacroix, Shell Beach, Hopedale, and areas beyond. Glenn, good morning. How you doing on this lead-in to Thanksgiving week?
Man, I tell you, this little cold front is going to turn the fish on so much, and it's perfect timing because Thanksgiving week's coming and all the kids are going to get have time to go fishing with their parents. It's perfect time.
Yeah, I got some really great Windbreak reports. Mike Gallo sent me some very impressive pictures. I mean, these are some of the biggest and most plentiful speckled trout that I've seen this whole season. And, yeah, that certainly that front's got something to do with it, and it kind of congregates the fish. Glenn, we're looking for some tips and advice on changing tactics. You know, people go out in the summertime, and they use certain tactics, fish certain areas, scenarios, baits, the way they work their lures. What changes do you need to make when that weather starts changing?
Right now, I mean, heck, you're still going to fish with live shrimp if you can get them because, I mean, they're all leaving right now. So the few that they have in the marsh that's left over, the trout are going to jump on them. But if you're going to fish with plastic, you know, you fish with it under a cork, you know, pop it. And if that doesn't work, leave it sit sometimes. Just pop it just a little bit. Sometimes you need to go on the bottom and drag it a little bit slow on the bottom, bouncing it off the bottom. You know, you just need to change up and figure out what they want and how they want it.
What about spots that you would look for that maybe wouldn't be successful in the summertime when it's hot and you got warm water temperatures, but during the cold times, maybe fish a little deeper sometimes? Those fish get that little bit, even if it's just a couple degrees difference, they get down there on the bottom and they find that comfort level.
Well, you know, in the summertime, the fish are on the outside, and I think the water's a lot cooler out there. So in the wintertime, when they come in, you know, all you need to do is find some different temperature. If it's too warm or if it's too cold, just move around till you find something that you're looking for, and then take it from there.
Glenn, as far as you know, no problems with the bridge this morning. You know, Pat, last weekend they had it shut down and people had to divert to get down there. Any problems this weekend?
I don't really know, but I don't believe so because they normally don't do it 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah, and they slipped up. They normally get the information out, but I didn't get the word on it, and I'm glad that it was brought to my attention. Well, Glenn, what else can you tell people who are headed out there this morning? You know, we had that 20-degree rule, remember, whenever the temperature's forecast, if you're going to be on the water and out in the wind where it's damp, dress like it's 20 degrees colder.
Without a doubt. And this time of year, I tell people all the time, bring a bag of dry clothes in case somebody was to fall overboard. Because, look, that happened to me a couple of years ago, and I had a dry bag, so fought. And I had to come home commando style in a rain suit in November. And it was not a very fun trip. And my bag stays in the boat now.
Yeah, and you don't worry about fashion. Anything will do, you know, just something dry.
Something dry.
Old pair of sweatpants, sweatshirt with a hood, that kind of stuff, man, that'd save your life and save you a lot of misery for sure if you get wet.
Yes, without a doubt. But this is a great time of the year. You got fishermen out here running around. You got duck hunters hunting. It's a wonderful time of year. You can come out and enjoy the marsh. You don't have to worry about being beat to death by the sun and have to get in. You know, you could fish all day long if you like this time of year.
Yeah, and you got to remember, you know, on the water and at the launch courtesy. There's going to be a lot of crowds at the boat launches. Might be a little bit of a long line. And then when you get out there, you're going to encounter more boats than you normally would. So just give everybody their space and be kind and courteous when you're out there. Because remember, it's all about fun. That's what it's supposed to be.
That's right. That's right. You can have more peace and serenity out here than any place else.
Glenn, are you hearing anything about ducks in Biloxi Marsh? This has been one of the weirdest seasons I can recall. The reports from the flyover survey said this was one of the worst duck seasons we've ever had. There's some spots down there in St. Bernard and Plaquemines Parish that have been better than they've been in decades. And in other people, it's like a wasteland. There's nothing there. And I haven't gotten hardly any good reports from Biloxi Marsh. Maybe this last front might brought some birds in, huh?
You know, I run up that way a couple of times a week, and I'll see a few birds, but nothing like I used to see years ago. But I heard they got birds down toward Point Lahash and Oak River and Spanish Lake area. That way, that's where they're supposed to be. The most birds is what I was told anyway.
Yeah, well, I'm kind of hearing the same thing. And some good reports from Delacro, which isn't too far now.
Right. Well, Spanish Lake is right there, so they can, you know, once they get up and fly from one pond to the next, they can go from one parish to the next in no time.
That's right. As the duck flies, it's a pretty short distance. Well, Glenn, listen, thanks for filling in for Robbie these weeks. We really appreciate it. I know he does, too, and y'all have a happy Thanksgiving, and everybody get out there and catch some fish.
You do the same, and everybody stay safe, and happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
All right, Glenn. See you next time, buddy. Thanks for what you do. All right, there he goes. That's Glenn Sanchez. Everybody remember him from the Breton Sound Marina? All right, we come back after this. I got some very important information to tell you about. We're going to get to some of your text messages, 504-260-1870. That's how to get on, and we'll read it to us and share it with our audience on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Radio Network. All right, a couple of reminders. The red snapper season for charter boats only, not for just recreational fishermen, has been reopened. They found out we had a few left on our quota, and they will be running that until throughout the end of the year. So if you want to get a red snapper trip in, call your local charter boat, who is an offshore licensed, federally permitted guide, and you can get you some of the red snapper. Also, flounder season in Louisiana is still closed through November the 30th. So next Sunday, if you catch one of those flounders, doesn't have to go back in the water, can go into the ice chest. And I know that's going to make a lot of you happy. All right, let's get to some of our text messages. We've got this one says, This is from our friend Lafayette Yacka, weighing in on the controversial issue of should motors be allowed on kayaks in tournament. He says, as time goes on, most sports improve to ruin the basics of the sport. Same with kayak fishing. If the sport paddles, pedals, electronics are used, I still prefer pedals and human power. Just keep the sport simple. He also said that COVID and those changes have affected kayak fishing and most of all the camaraderie in the sport. Those of us up in age have benefited from all of these if used. Yes, some folks think that there should be an age limit. If you're over a certain age, maybe 60 or 65, then they would allow you to use the motors, but otherwise it would strictly be paddle or pedal power. But always two sides, sometimes three sides to an issue. All right, we have a question about the bridge being opened. Our friend Butch, who manages the Wycloski Bridge, says the bridge going down into the parish, also known as the Green Bridge, is fine this morning. It's open. All right, and Sylvia's kind of got a personal request. Sylvia, I'll let you know that after the show I will respond and get you that information you're looking for. Here's one that says, Don, been talking since 2010 when I hit 65. Oh, been taking, not sure what's taking. But anyway, when it hit 65, joints and other stuff started breaking. Motor keeps me on the water at 70. Motor's okay for old dogs. There you go. Well, go get them. And we've heard from my friend the Wingbone, the turkey call maker up in Wilmer, not far from where I am here in Alabama. He got 2 days for black powder hunting in with his old flintlock. He does it old school for sure. But no deer, but keep going. It's a very early season there, Wingbone. Got lots of time to get one. All right, we got this one from the backstrap stacker. The little backstrap stacker was successful last weekend. Didn't take him long. Got a nice buck and sent me a nice picture. So congratulations to him. Gun season's open, and he's got a crew today. The backstrap stacker has two girls under the age of 12, and he's hoping there's a deaf buck nearby. Yeah, I get it. Little chatty kids with you in the blind. That's okay. They're having fun. And let's see. We got this one, fishing in Louisiana, deer hunting in Mississippi. Lots to be thankful for. That's Ben from Mississippi. Yeah, you're right. Next week will be the time when we remember all the things, the blessings to be thankful for, and getting out and hunting and fishing with friends and family is certainly on the top of a lot of folks' lists. All right, we got Greg and Tony T. They're going to Golden Meadow and hopefully to catch some speckle trout. They love the radio show. Thanks. All right, here's our buddy the Steel Man. He's checking in from Pecan Island, Big Bar, and he had a slow day in Gaydon yesterday, as a matter of fact. Pro, T. Sykes, Darcy, KT, OT Kells, and the Steel Man are hoping for better luck. He's asking, got a request, too. He wants me to judge a duck calling contest, a mano-a-mano between Big Burr Sr. and the Steel Man. He's going to email the recordings. Yeah, do that. In fact, I'll do one more favor for you. I'm going to be hunting with Mike Smith, who you'll be hearing from a little bit later on. Mike is a 5-time Louisiana State duck calling champion and a former judge for the World Calling Championship. So I'm going to get his opinion. When I get with him next week, I'll bring your recordings down there and let Mike listen to it, and we'll announce the winner. It's a head-up competition between the Steel Man and Big Bar Senior. May the best man win. All right, another duck hunter's checking in, a duck and goose hunter, and he's a good one, Roland Cortez. He's hunting up at Dave's Bayou in North Louisiana and says they've had a good start to the duck season up there. If you got a text message you want to shoot to us, it's 504-260-1870. Anything you want to talk about on the outdoor show is certainly welcome. Here's a question coming in. What type of turkey do you prefer to eat for Thanksgiving, baked or fried? Easy decision for me. Definitely baked. I'm not a fried turkey fan for a number of reasons. One, the bird itself, and maybe there's some secret somebody has, it has a tendency to always be dry when you fry it. Number two, the effort you have to go through to fry a turkey, the amount of oil that you have to use, and sometimes it gets a little dangerous when you're hauling a big, 14, 16-pound turkey and dropping it into boiling oil with a burner going on underneath. There's been homes burned down from that. And I've done it, and, you know, it's okay. But if I got a choice, I'm going baked every time. In fact, I have a smoked wild turkey in my freezer, and I've been debating on how to prepare it. Maybe somebody can give me some suggestions. But right now I'm leaning towards brining it to make sure it gets tender, and then doing it in Uncle Larry's Ready Set Gumbo. Just cut it up in pieces and let it simmer for a long time so it gets tender. It's already got that smoke flavor in it. Should be good, but that's not going to be for Thanksgiving. That'll probably be more like Christmas and New Year. All right, hope we're making you hungry. I'm getting a little hungry myself. When we come back after this, bad boy time. Hey, can you use $103,500 about now? Well, you can earn it. If you know anything about a bad boy they're trying to track down, we'll give you those details and tell you about this week's Bad Boy of the Outdoors. That's coming up next right here on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, if those of you who have been waiting to hear how to cash in on a $103,500 reward, here it is. There was a federally protected Mexican wolf found dead northwest of Flagstaff, Arizona, just a couple of weeks ago on November the 7th. It is a female Mexican wolf. It had the number F2979. These endangered animals are very highly protected and kept track of. This one was found dead in the vicinity of Forest Service Road and East Spring Valley Road. It's under investigation, and a reward has been gathered from several organizations that totals up to $103,500. Given for information that leads to successful prosecution in the case. Anyone with information on individuals who were in that area where the wolf was found on those dates or information they think could be helpful are urged to call the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service special agents in Arizona. And I have the number, and if you text me, I'll give it to you. I'll send it back to you. But killing one of these endangered Mexican wolves is a violation of both the state and the federal endangered species. And, you know, people say, well, why are you mentioning this out here in Louisiana and Mississippi, Alabama, and it happened in that? Well, you never know. People travel and hunt a lot, and someone may have some information. And also sometimes people who do these things have a tendency to brag about it, and that is their downfall. So if you have any information, contact them, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, direct, or I'll give you that phone number if you have it. And you would be enjoying $103,500, one of the biggest rewards I've ever seen. All right, we have a bad boy story coming up, but first we've got to pause a quick 10 seconds for our local stations to identify themselves on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. Well, Agent Sergeant Justin Saunier and Lieutenant David Sanford received the complaint on October 24th from a resident of Gaydon in Vermilion Parish about his neighbor shooting a shotgun and revving up an ATV on multiple days while he was trying to deer hunt. Well, 4 days after the report, the agents contacted the neighbor, Ernest Patin, who admitted to the agents that he was indeed shooting his shotgun and revving up his ATV in an effort to keep deer away from his neighbor while the neighbor was hunting. Patin said he and his neighbor were in a dispute, so he was doing this as retaliation. Well, in Louisiana and many other states, hunters are protected from harassment, and the agents proceeded to cite and now facing a maximum fine of $350 is 71-year-old Ernest Patin of Gaydon, Louisiana, a not-so-neighborly neighbor and our bad boy of the outdoors. Yep, it's illegal, and it's a protected activity to hunt and fish, and if someone is harassing you or disrupting, the reason, you know, a lot of times this occurs. I've had cases where somebody was putting a cologne on somebody's deer stand and around on their feeder and their food plots to keep the deer away. But, you know, and a lot of times it's jealousy or like this neighbor disputes. But these laws, as I remember when they enacted them, I don't know, it's probably been 10, 15, maybe longer years ago. It was originally designed to deal with the anti-hunting group, the animal rights activists, you know, these mostly women with, you know, blue hair, and they dress up like vegetables and do crazy things, and they will go out. And in fact, I remember they were gonna come down here and disrupt. This was PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. They were going to come to Louisiana and they were going to scare the fish away at the Grand Isle International Tarpon Rodeo. Their plan was to go out there with buckets of rocks, and they were going to throw rocks in the water to scare the fish away. And that's hysterical. You know, they had no idea what the Grand Isle Tarpon Rodeo was, how it was laid out, what's going on, and you're not going to come down and make enough. You have to do quite a disruption to interrupt and harass people from fishing in Grand Isle. But they've kind of backed off their activities over the years. You don't hear as much about PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, and some of these other groups that believe that you shouldn't fish, that fish feel pain, and it's cruel to catch them and put them in ice chests and kill them. But, hey, you know, that's the circle of life. Anyway, hunting harassment, fishing harassment, don't do it because you could be sighted and get a fine like our friend here, Mr. Patan. We'll see how that all pans out. All right, getting back to the text board, this is kind of sad. Our Ohio listeners checking in with a heavy heart. Their dancing partner died last night, the kitty, a cat with tooth abscess. Says, give your partners, P-A-W-T-N-R-E-S, a scrub and a hug today. They're people too. And I fully understand that. Our pets, our dogs, they're our hunting buddies, they're our constant companions. And I tell you what, sometimes no better friends than those who are canine or feline. And we're feeling for you this morning, Ohio. And says it's very cold up there, too. Yeah, I can imagine. Been a little chilly down here. All right, we come back after this. Got some more info to share with you. Get some of your text messages, 504-260-1870. Did you hear there was another case of chronic wasting disease found in some white-tailed deer in Jefferson Davis Parish? We'll tell you what the fallout from that is going to be and a little more about that CWD, that disease itself. We'll be back to do that. Get some more fishing info, the stuff we love to talk about every Saturday morning from 5 to 7 a.m. on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, getting to our text messages. We got this one says, back from the Lafayette Yakker, checking in again. He says, now you're cooking show. He's going to try a greaseless fry. Any suggestions? I don't know. I don't know if you can air fry a turkey. Maybe if somebody's had any experience with that, let me know. But as far as I know, you got to have the grease to have the fried turkey. Here's a question. Have I ever eaten a turducken turkey? If so, would you recommend it? Yes, I highly recommend it. Turducken, for those of you not know, it's pretty well famous. It's a stuffed duck, chicken, and turkey, each with a different stuffing. And they are inserted inside each other. So what you do is when you carve it, you get a little slice of duck, a slice of turkey, and a slice of chicken with maybe two or three different types of dressings inside. The guy that made it famous is Glenn Mistich, who is on the West Bank in New Orleans. He owns Gourmet Butcher Block, and he has probably the best turducken around. He's the one that showed up on Super Bowls with John Madden, and they would serve it during Thanksgiving week or during the Super Bowl. I think he's going to be there this year when it's in New Orleans and serving it. But the rap on turducken is it's too much. It's too many flavors. They would rather eat just a turkey, just a stuffed duck, or just a stuffed chicken. And he's got all of those, too. But if you want to experience all three and have a lot of food to serve a lot of people, turducken may be your answer. All right, here's one from one of our listeners, regular listener, Donnie Sampson. He hunted with Mike Smith on the youth day with his son, and it was 14, and his grandson, 10. So, you know, he had three generations of Sampsons. And they had their limit in 34 minutes, back at the dock by 8 a.m. Boy, that's the way to do it. And that's got to be some pretty good shooting from those kids to have it done in 34 minutes. Congratulations to your son and grandson. They've got some pretty good shooting done there. All right, here's one that says, I'm looking for a wildlife refuge to hunt deer this year. Any suggestions? By the way, I also have 9 chocolate lab puppies getting their shots and wellness check today. That's Creole Leo. Well, as far as the puppies, 9 of them, you got your hands full there. I hope you get adoptions quick. All right, then on deer hunting, a wildlife refuge, you know, Tensaw, probably one of the best. The further north you go in Louisiana, I think the better chances. But there's some good deer hunting in the Pearl River Wildlife Management Area and some of the others. But you'll be hunting maybe swamps, a Joyce Management Area, Man Shack. You know, if you like to hunt swamps, it's a little tougher access. But some of those North Louisiana WMAs are pretty good. You can find an entire list of them on the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries website. Got maps and all the regulations on them. So thanks for that, Leo. We appreciate it. All right, we got Doug checking in. He's invited to shoot hogs in Mississippi. Do I need a Mississippi license? And if so, what type? Well, the way it works in Mississippi is, you need a license, number one. And I'm assuming you're on private land since you got an invitation. On private land in Mississippi, boy, they really want to get rid of those hogs. You can kill them during daylight, nighttime hours, year-round, 365 days a year. No restriction on what type of weapon you're using. You can use high-powered rifle. You can shoot them with a bow. You can shoot them with a shotgun. And there are further restrictions if you're hunting on public land, but from what you're telling me, it sounds like you're going to be on private land. So get your license and get you some hogs. In fact, we're going to be doing a show, and I'm really interested and anxious to do this, on Bayou Wild TV after the first of the year. We're going to go down and hunt with Derek Poor and his guys who do the troops in Tusk. Will Clark, famous baseball player, is going to be with us, and we're going to be doing some nighttime hunting for hogs. And Chef Philippe Parola is going to come down there with us, and he is going to demonstrate how to remove the very important parts, the hams and the back straps, off of a wild hog in the field, and then put it into some plastic wrapping and put it in your backpack and leave the mess out there. No gutting, no hanging, no all that kind of stuff, skinning or any of that stuff. He says it can be done in a matter of minutes. And I think more people will take hogs if you can learn how to get that done. He's going to demonstrate it on a future episode of Bayou Wild TV. All right, 504-260-1870 is our text line. The Mad Trucker's checking in. Here's one that wants to wish me and the Bayou Wild crew and all the listeners a happy Thanksgiving. And goes on to say, man, some Uncle Larry's ready, set, gumbo, smoked turkey gumbo would definitely hit the spot on this 39-degree morning. Perchance, are you having any stuffed melatonin on the side with your baked turkey? Inquiring minds want to know. That's from my friend David. Matter of fact, David, I was just checking on my vines, and I've got three. One is huge and two of your average size. And, yes, we are going to take those melatons, and I'm not quite sure if it'll be a casserole or stuffed, but we're going to make use of them. And I'm going to need to get some info from you on care, winter care for the melatons to make sure they come back again next year. All right, we got Jason and the crew over at Corey's Barbershop. He's checking in with us on his way to work. They're going to go cut some hair. My barber, Jason, he's a guy that keeps me looking so good when you see me on TV. Corey's Barbershop is located in Covington, Louisiana. All right, still to come, we got a fishing report coming up in just a minute or so with Captain Darryl Carpenter. Check out how Grand Isle is doing on this kind of a wintry start to the morning, but it's going to warm up later on, be a beautiful day today. Also going to tell you what you need if you're going to be motorizing your kayaks in the way of being legal. Our friend Paul Bernard put that on Facebook, and I've got some info to pass along there. We'll talk to Mike Gallo, we'll talk to Eric Mahabarak, and going to visit three duck blinds this morning and find out what's happening out there in the marshes for the folks that are looking to get those quackers. All that's still to come right here on the Outdoors with Tom Dubuque Radio Network. All right, it's a chilly start to the morning, but it's going to warm up a little bit later on. Got a pretty good tide range, going to have a little switch in the winds, but it's going to remain pretty light. It's blowing a little steady out there this morning, but it will decrease as we get into the weekend. Let's see what Darryl Carpenter's got going on around Grand Isle. Darryl, what can you tell us about fishing in Grand Isle for this weekend?
The weekend ought to be pretty nice, Don. I mean, there's been a lot that no fishing basically this past week. When that storm come through, of course, Grand Isle was flooded by both the tides. Plus, they received like 8 inches of rain, which even flooded inside their little levee. So most of the week was spent on doing cleanup. But, yeah, I mean, you got this little bit of a it's still kind of cool, but the bad weather's going through. So things will be starting to calm down. We got bright, sunny days. So during the middle of the day, the water ought to start warming up a little bit from that radiant sunshine. And, you know, it's typical wintertime pattern. Don't wake up with the chickens at the crack of dawn. Just wait till the middle of the day and go find you some flats and some current points, and you ought to be able to scratch together some fish.
Darryl, for someone who doesn't fish that often and maybe their last trip it was 80, 90 degrees and now they're going to be going out there with early morning temperatures nearing in the 30s and in the 40s, Besides going further north and getting up into the marshes where and following the speckled trout, what are the changes in your tactics or gear that you would use to address this change in conditions in the winter?
Well, the first number is when the marinas can't get shrimp, when your favorite bait store can't get shrimp, it's because they're not out there, or there's a whole lot fewer of them out there. So that means that the fish are turning off of them, too. This is the time of the year when it doesn't hurt to fish with minnows. You're going to get just as good of a result out of minnows. You're going to get just as good a result out of plastic. You know, just sometimes you got to go deeper. Sometimes you got to slow it down. But, you know, just this is more, you know, Grand Isle is known as one of the first spots that speckled trout turns on, and then it becomes just a mad race. Get out there, see how fast you can catch a speckled trout and go. This time of the year is more about enjoying your fishing trip. And, you know, if you just slow it down and pound the points, hit multiple spots if you have to, you're going to end up putting together a nice box of fish.
Yeah, and Darrell, you know, there's a variety of fish, too, to be caught in the wintertime. You can catch the bottom feeders as well as the speckled trout. What do you anticipate fishermen are going to encounter next spring when the fishing starts to turn on again after we get through that tough month of February and water starts warming up? Do you think that all those fish that were released under the new size limit will be legal fish next year? The ones that are left, the pelicans and dolphins, didn't get to dine on?
Yeah, Don, that's a man. I'm up in the air on that one. I don't know. I mean, I look back to my bass fishing days where, you know, when they tried this in the Chaffalot Spillway, I realize we're talking about a totally different estuary. We're talking about a totally different fish, but I'm kind of anticipating the same results. Is those fish are going to go where they want to go, and as they get bigger, they're going to probably leave, you know, and you know, head out onto the beaches or whatever, wherever. But I just don't know if they're going to grow into that 13-inch. I guess time's going to tell. And the Chaffalot Spillway, it took about 3 years, and all the fish grew right up to that limit, and, you know, the bass grew right up to that limit and then just kind of stopped. I mean, they didn't really get any bigger. Or should I say they didn't survive past that point. I don't know. I'm up in the air. I'm a little bit nervous about it. I know we should have, depending on the winter we have, if last year was any kind of an indication, we should have a bumper crop of fish again, barring any hard freezes that has a massive fish kill. I think next year is going to be a bumper year. And this year, to be honest with you, Don, this year, I bet you that I didn't throw back 100 fish this year. I mean, they were all just nice big fish this year.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's certainly the best case scenario because, you know, there's a lot of question about there's a whole lot more fish having to be released, which means they have to be handled. They have to be exposed to the predators, and people catch more fish than if they caught their first 15 or what used to be 25 and you leave. But when you got to catch 100 or more to get those fish, it's kind of questionable. Well, are you really doing the right thing? I guess time will tell.
Look, without a doubt, you know, I'm not, by no means a fisheries biologist, but, you know, but they do call me sometimes to want to know where to go set their nets. So I guess that means something. But I can tell you right now where they are dead wrong is their release mortality. I mean, that's their release mortality. They guess somewhere around 20%. That's way, way wrong. But that's where, you know, my nerves kind of kick in some to see how it's going to end up. But we will see. I mean, time's going to tell.
Yes, indeed. Well, Darrell, have a good weekend. Enjoy Thanksgiving. And if somebody wants to get a hold of you in the meantime, they can find you on my website. Got a direct link to you. But give them the telephone number and your site.
It's realscreamers.com or 225-937-6288.
Anything special on the Carpenter Thanksgiving menu this year?
No, actually, Don, I mean, the last time you saw me, you saw there's a lot less of me. So Thanksgiving, the meal at Thanksgiving is not a big thing for us. So we're trying to stay. It was hard to get rid of, so we're trying to stay on that diet.
There you go. All right, Darrell, thanks as always, my friend. We'll see you next week.
Thank you, sir.
All right, Darrell Carpenter, realscreamers.com. All right, got a few texts coming in this morning. Someone sent me an email about frying a turkey without frying it in oil. I'm going to have to check that out when I get a minute. Very interesting. I guess that's air frying it. Well, if you can do that, that solves one problem. But does it still come out dry? How do you have a moist, tender turkey when you're frying it? That's a big question. 504-260-1870 is our text line. Put it to great use. Someone missed last week's deer collision. Number one state, it was West Virginia. And we'll be back to do another whole hour of this stuff. Also got those motorized vessel regulations for kayaks next on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network.